be a little bit, I think, a little bit challenge, because it's kind of removing some mindsets that we have about how we're supposed to address things in our life, believing in Jesus Christ or believing in things that is happening in our daily life that is not related to Jesus Christ. And always it's challenging because that specific thing, that we have our own things going on in our life and in our minds and hearts, all the things that it grew over there from years and years and years that we keep learning and experiences in our life that is creating something there. And that's how it's, for me, I think it's challenging to face those things in a daily life. So today, I want to open it with this story. Do you guys know, like, those little kids? Like, for example, I don't know if you guys remember that movie, The Sandlot, the baseball one. I love that movie. I grew up playing baseball. So do you remember those little kids, like, when they go in the streets and then the first kids going in front of everyone? It was maybe when they get in trouble. They don't do that at home, little kids. When they throw the first stone, you know, and doing bad stuff, being, you know, kids. So I was reading something that it sounds really interesting about Jesus Christ always being from, because he can throw the first stone, because the Bible says that the person that without sins throw the first stone. So always, if we have a Jesus Christ in front of you, in front of the group, in front of your team, don't worry, he don't have sins. He can throw the first stone. You follow me? So it's always good having Jesus Christ over there in front of you, leading everything, leading the group, leading your life. And that's something related of this series that we're going to talk about. And I want to open, and I want to use this scripture in Matthew 28. This is the scripture that we all know, and this one is the one that we're going to use as the scripture for this series. 28:16, the Great Commission. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Interesting point. For me, it's interesting. We're talking about that you're seeing the person that you are following, the person that died and resurrect, in some doubt. Keep that in mind. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Praise God. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Praise God. Hallelujah. I like the last statement, because he gave you some commands. He gave you something to follow, something to continue pursuing in your life. But the last thing, when it says, I surely be with you, I will be with you, I will be there with you. But before that, it's saying, go, make disciples. So what God is teaching me this week, it is a difference between the multitude and the disciples. And we see that in the ministry of Jesus Christ. You can see those two type of person, or two type of people. That manifestation, we can see it also here right now in our daily life, that we can see a multitude mindset and a disciple mindset. And I believe God wants us to challenge ourselves of where we at. Are we having a multitude, like crowd mindset, or are we having a disciple mindset? So the series is called Discipleship, or Becoming a Disciple, because I truly believe that that's what Jesus Christ wants in our life. He wants us to be a disciple, not just a multitude of people, a crowd of people. And there's an interesting story in the Bible that is going through that in specific details that I want to start today, which is Luke. Let's go to Luke, and we're going to chapter 14. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Let me know when you're there. Amen. Okay, it says, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he say, if anyone comes to me and does not hate, whoa, that's a strong word, right? Because after that, what he's saying is persons that we love in the earth, or on the earth, right? Sorry. This is tough. That's why it's challenging. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers, sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Now what are we going to do? How we can manage this? That's the first point that I want to share with you guys today. Because he's talking to a crowd. According to scripture, you can see two different things over here. Number one, large crowds, which is in other versions it's called multitude, right? And then in another's, and then down in here in 26, it's finishing saying, cannot be my disciple. So now we're talking about two different people here, disciple and crowd. Which one we are? Because he's establishing the first point, and the first point here is relationships. The first point is relationships. And now what God was talking in my heart about this verse 26, it says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother. So the first point inside of the first one, the relationship, is talking about what is your mindset, what is your heart of your position, your place with God. Do you know that he's your father? Because some of us, we know God maybe as a healer. You maybe have an experience or a testimony or a miracle that God did in your life as a healer. And you know him as a healer. But maybe you don't know him as a father. Maybe you don't have that experience. Maybe all the people have that experience of being my father. But I never maybe got sick, so you never healed me. So I don't know that attribute from you as a healer. And maybe some people will say, well, I know God as a father, but not as a healer. I'm the same the other way. So God wants us to understand, I am your father. Have a heart of a son, that you have a father in heaven, that you can call him, that you call him, that you count in him, and he can support you and give you the protection and everything that you need as a father. The other second point inside of the first point of relationship, he's talking also about wife and children. He's talking about also that position that we have, that we know, that we need to understand, that you have a role and responsibility in being with Jesus Christ, that you have a person with you in your side that you also have to need to take care, that you need to protect and cover. Also, you have the Holy Spirit. You also have Jesus Christ in your life. And that's the next one when he's talking about brothers and sisters. You have your brother, your older brother, spiritually talking, Jesus Christ is your older brother. So he's with you. We need to have that heart and that mind in relationship with God. Now, this is spiritually. When we're talking about earthly, when we're talking about more physically, more commonly, Jesus Christ here is talking about you have to put your heart and your mind in first place to me. And that's the challenging part, because our hearts and minds sometimes is too attached to mom and dad and brothers and sister and wife and kids, children, right? I know. I'm a father. I love John and Jaylee. And you feel that. You feel that love. You feel like you're taking care of them. You have that responsibility. But Jesus Christ here talking, he say, in other words, you have to put me first. And I know it's difficult. But in order to be a disciple and not just a crowd, you have to put Jesus Christ first in your life over anyone in your family. And you know, when you do that, then you will see that God or Jesus Christ will continue blessing you and covering you and protecting you, because you are putting him first and he will take care of everything else. Giving him all the will, giving him all the power, all the glory, so that way he can manage everything for you. Yes, I know it's challenging, but we can make that happen. Making always him first over anything else in our life. Relationships. Because he wants to help us to build that relationship with him. Him first over anything. Now, what is a crowd? What is a multitude? When we continue learning about that, I was just looking some definitions. And I like a few that I learned here. And one of them, in the original Greek, it says that it's a vehicle, a transportation, which is a system of meaning to lead people and things from one place to another. So imagine the crowd. They're just coming for what? To see. A fan. Like a fan from a stadium. They're just, do you guys watch or know about the gladiators in the old times and also the movie? You can talk about that. You have a fan over there that is screaming, "Yeah, let's kill that guy," or whatever. You know, you will see that person outside as a fan. But the one over there, the one that is playing basketball, baseball, hockey, NFL, football, whatever it is, or fighting over there, like in this case, in this example of gladiators, that's the person that is playing over there on the court. That is playing in the game. That's the one that is doing everything for the team, not just a fan outside screaming. That's kind of the multitude. That's the kind of the crowd mindset. That crowd mindset is the one that we need to remove out of our life, because that's also the one, according to the Bible, that they were just going to see. Oh, let me see, who's that guy? Oh, that's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth? Is there something good coming from Nazareth? I don't know. Just the crowd. They just want to see. Some other ones, they have needs, and they're just going for the needs. Just for the healing. Just to receive something. But there was no compromise or some relationship with Jesus Christ. It was just a crowd. And that's why he was directing to them and say, hey, if you want to be my disciple, you have to do these things. You have to change your mindset. You have to build a relationship with me. Not just coming over here for what you need. Remember, this happened before the miracle of giving the fish and the bread to everyone. The people was just over there also for the fish and the bread, just receiving what they need. But they were not establishing that relationship with Jesus Christ. They were not establishing that discipleship with Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus Christ wants. If you want to be my disciple, then you need to put me first in your life. Not just your needs. In continuation, in verse 27, it says, and whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Second point, the cross. It is important because this is, in red words, you guys know that this is Jesus Christ talking. And he's saying, the second point is the cross. You need to take your cross, crowd. Crowd, take the cross if you want to be my disciple, in other words. If you want to take the cross, then that means you are taking all the difficulties in your life and carry them just because you want to follow me, because you have faith in me. You are removing anything in your life because you want to prioritize the relationship with me. As you guys know, normally in that time, what was that mean when the people were carrying the cross? They were just going to death. They're just going to die because they already have a judgment and they already have a cross where they're going to be crucified and die. So that's the meaning of that. You need to die of your own desires. You need to die of anything that is not from God. So that way you can take your cross and then start moving forward. What Jesus Christ, at the beginning of his ministry, was telling to the disciples. He told them, hey, Rudy, follow me. Chris, follow me. That was the only thing that he was saying, right? Let's go really quick. Let's go to several scripture, just like three. Mark 1:17. Mark 1:17 says, come, follow me, Jesus says, and I will send you out to fish for people. Okay, let me just follow. This was just magically, or what happened over there? Because he just said the word, follow me. And what does that mean? What does that mean about follow me? Because the crowd, they can be a followers. Followers just for the needs. But not followers as a disciples. Because the disciples were just over there with him. They were maybe not seeing or experiencing any miracles between them. The miracles, the healing and everything, the deliverance, it was happening to the crowd. The disciples, it was just there, that core, that team, it was just there. Just believing and trusting in what the leader, the teacher, it was giving to him, to them, and they would just follow him. Okay, let's just go by this. What you need, okay? Spread the gospel. Go over there. Preach. Teach. Tell them. But Jesus Christ was healing the crowd. Healing the multitude. The disciples, they just listened. Follow me. Oh, okay. Let's go. Mark 2:14. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus. Sorry. Sitting at the tax collector's booth, follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. John 1:43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Paul, follow my example. As I follow the example of Christ. So Jesus wants us to, or telling us today, follow me. Follow me and go and make disciples. If you are a disciple, then let's go and make a disciple. If you have a crowd mindset, let's start to change it to being a disciple mindset. Continuation, Luke 14:28. He gives this example, which is really interesting. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down, estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he sent a delegation while the other is still a long way off, and will ask for terms of peace. Interesting. for me, the example that he's giving. Because he's literally saying, sit down, crowd, and consider if you really want to follow me. It's like, do you really have the budget? Right or no? Or I'm getting this wrong. Do you really have the budget to follow me? Do you really have the money or the budget to go to the war? Because that's what's going to happen. He said, you're going to the war. And I'm not promising you that who you're going to face over there is going to be more or less than you. You have 10,000 and you're going to face someone from 20,000. And he say, consider, can you handle that? Yes or no? No? Okay, so go make peace because you cannot handle that. And then for the other point, he say, consider, you have the money to build this tower? If you don't have it, don't do it. You don't have the budget. Because that's the cost of following Jesus Christ. Now, the war that you need to win, or the tower that you need to build, is enough? Is really worth it? Did you say, well, it's my salvation? Is being in the kingdom of God with Jesus Christ? Is being with the kingdom of God people? Let's do it. But if you say, nah, no. That's an opinion, right? That's why Jesus Christ says, consider. Because this is not going to be just easy. You have to face things. You have to consider what you're going to face. That's the cost of being a disciple. It's tough. It's difficult. It's challenging. But it's rewarding. It's a blessing. Praise God. 33 says, in the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. That's the last point that I want to share with you guys. Renounce. Renounce, which is meaning giving up everything that you own or that you have. But in other words, spiritually talking, we're saying your own desires. What you build in your life, what you decide to let your heart and your mind receive from the experiences, he say, give it up of that. Renounce that. Remove it. Follow me. Be my disciple. Don't be like the crowd. Don't be like the multitude that they just want something emotional, something momentary or temporary, and then just go home again and then come back again and just give me what I need and then go over there. No. Be a disciple. Follow him every single time of your life, every second, every mind, every thought, everything, every heart, every detail. Follow him. Believe in him. That's what he wants from us. 34 says, salt is good, which is you and me, according to Scripture. But if it loses, thank you, its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Again, it's challenging because it's telling you that you and I, we can lose this. Ouch. How can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. I don't want that for anyone. Not for you, not for my family, not for me. I want to be in with him in the kingdom. So if I want to be in the kingdom with him, then let me give everything away. Let me put him first. Let me accept the cross and just start walking to be a disciple. Because I want to be a disciple. I just don't want to be a multitude. I just don't want to be a crowd. I want to be a disciple. And if we have that mindset, then the beginning of this series, let's go and make more disciples. Hallelujah. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Which is a statement really strong from Jesus Christ. Say, I'm telling you something. If you're really listening, if you're really paying attention to what I'm saying, let's do it. A disciple is a person that is not just a listener. It's a person that is also practicing what he's listening. Because you're listening and understanding what you are listening and then applying it in your life. That's a disciple. And that's what the disciples were doing. Once again, he wants us to be a disciple. I want to leave you with these scriptures. Luke 6:40. And this one is also for me really interesting, the way he put it over here. Because, Jesus Christ is amazing. Okay, Luke 6:40. Hallelujah. The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. So we're getting exposed to this learning, teaching with Jesus Christ, the Word of God. We're never going to be above Him. You know that. We're receiving the teaching. The student is receiving the teaching. Let's apply it. There's another version that's called this be perfect, which perfect is not the same meaning of the on the earth. Perfect, it means complete. That you are complete with Jesus Christ. You are complete with God and the Holy Spirit. That means you are perfect. So he wants you to be trained, to be perfect, complete with him, so that way you can go and practice that. Now, what it called my attention is the place that he put this scripture. Because it says, not judging others. If you start from 37, he say, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I learned something that says if you want to receive flowers, then give flowers to the person. If you don't want to receive flowers, then don't give flowers to the person. Don't expect to receive flowers if you're giving a thorn. So if you're going to give that, you're going to receive the same thing. It's simple. It's here. Now after that, he say, he also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? How a crowd can go and make disciples? They can't. Jesus Christ give you a commission and say, go and make disciples. But if you're not a disciple, how you can go and make disciples? Simple. Hallelujah. Will they not both fall into a pit? Then after that is the verse. And then 41 says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Disciple. That's why I understand why he put that one over there, verse 40. The student. Kind of like, why you put that over there? Because you and me were learning to be a disciple. And he say, in order to be a disciple, you cannot judge others. Because the other person has something over there and you're trying to remove it when you are also covered with the plank in front of your face. So you don't have a vision of being a disciple. How you can make a disciple if you don't have the vision? But if you remove, because you are looking into yourself, this is a teaching from Jesus Christ, saying, look to yourself first before you start looking the others. When you look you first and then you understand where you are, then you can help the other ones. Then you can be a disciple. Then you can be like your teacher, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go. Because one of the definitions of being a follower, so follow Jesus Christ, when he say follow me, he's saying, accompany me. Accompany me. Be with me. Walk with me. That's what he's saying when he say follow me. So how you can do that with other people out there if we don't remove that out of our eyes? Hallelujah. Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Verse 1 through 6. It's the same thing. Do not judge. But then here, go through verse 3. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Now, I want to go really quick. Galatians 6, verse 1 and 5 through 5 says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, I'm a disciple, but maybe we have a crowd mindset. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions, my own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. And this is the last one that I want to leave you. Luke 9:23. Then he said to them, all, the crowd, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. You already know who you are. You already look inside of you. You already look into your sin, the plank. You already know. And then he's saying here, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit their very self? Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, this is Jesus Christ, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. I don't want him to be ashamed of me. You and I always are going to have that opportunity. We're going to have that experience in our life. Just make sure that you are a disciple, that we can continue walking as a disciple, believing and trusting always with him. When we go to 2 Corinthians 11:23, Paul over there expressed something really amazing also. And he says over here, are they servants of Christ? Disciples? I am out of my mind to talk like this. This is Paul. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked and spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. Wait a second, there's believers that they are false? Be careful. You need to be careful. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concerns for all the churches. Wow. Thank you, church. Thank you always for being here. Thank you for supporting the church, because this is not the church of anyone here on the earth. It's the church of Christ. And it can be one person or it can be two or three. It's continuing being the church of Christ, not of anyone else. So if you are trusting and believing in Jesus Christ and that the church is from Christ, you are supporting Jesus Christ. But do not have the mind of a crowd or a multitude. Let's change it to be a disciple. Let's be a disciple person and people, so that way we can go and make more disciples. I don't want to get to that point of Jesus Christ saying, you call me Lord and Lord, but I don't know you. Because that's the false believers. You can see that they were following Jesus or they were calling Jesus. I need this, I need that emotionally. But then, I don't know you, Jesus Christ will say. He will be ashamed. Praise God. We are believers, followers, and disciples, really disciples, not just crowd. And praise God. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this blessing. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your scripture. Thank you for your word. Thank you for everyone here. Thank you because we believe in you, we trust in you, and we have the confidence, God, that you are with us. This is your church. Not mine, not anyone else in the world, is yours. And we are trusting and believing that we are walking as a disciples. And we are going and make more disciples as you command and put that commission to us in our hearts and our mind. I declare in the name of Jesus Christ that you will continue blessing us and continue growing us to be the church that you want us to be. God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we believe in you and we pray all these things. Amen.